Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on October 12, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us today as producer and co-host, president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com, and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Happy Friday,
Joe. I'm doing
great.
It's Friday.
All right.
Friday's always
it's Friday.
Day. Yes.
Yep. And I don't know that it all stops at Friday, but it is always great to be Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
I
mean, listen, what I mean is, you know, it's interesting when you're in public, in these public service type positions, and you know that, Jackie, you don't stop Friday.
No,
I mean, do you even know what day of the week it is? If you didn't know what show you were doing, you wouldn't know what day of the week it is.
No, you know something? What I do is, seriously, it's 24/7, 365. It really is.
Exactly, exactly. And so, unless you knew, oh, it's the Chamber show, so must be Friday.
Must be Friday, yeah.
I mean, because you go to events 7 days a week. And I am constantly doing stuff on the weekends as well. I actually am kind of excited about this weekend. I have nothing Saturday night. I have Saturday morning. I think I'm fairly free on Sunday. So, you know, these are things where you just want to get in your van and go down by the river with your dogs, you know, and just hang there.
Yeah, there you go.
Turn off everything, gel out, veg out, the whole thing.
You know, I just missed you Wednesday night. I went to the opening of the new Lazy Acres that straddles Manhattan and Hermosa there, and I had just missed you, apparently.
Yeah, and you saw Tammy. She was back there in the demo kitchen.
I did.
Doing her thing. My wife, who is the inspiration and owner of the Ripe Choice Catering, please call for all your catering needs, especially this fall. Get your orders in now or Thanksgiving. So anyway, really cool store. Very cool store. I mean, they say it's a cross between, you know, Bristol Farms and Sprouts, or Bristol Farms and a Ralph's, or something like that. And it really was, you know, I'd like to see it without a band, you know, just to see what it's like to be in the store. <you know?
laughs> Well, the soft opening, the private preview was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The soft opening was yesterday and today. And then tomorrow morning is the grand opening.
Right.
So they're going to have all sorts of stuff going on for the grand opening. So go over and check it out. It's a gorgeous store.
Yeah. It's right there at the corner by Hope Chapel, at right there
Artesia,
at the corner of
PCH.
Artesia and PCH, or if you're coming from the Manhattan Beach side, Artesia and Sepulveda.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, big. And the reason you missed me, I did the I emceed the California Women's League of Women Voters, or California League of Women Voters, their candidates for him. So Ben Allen was there with Baron Bruno, who he's running against, and then of course Frank Scotto and Al Marasucci were there. So it was really cool to kind of hear the hear all the their take on the different things. That was the first time, you know, I've known Frank a little bit, but that was the first time I'd seen him in action up there talking about the issues. So that was nice to put that together. And I didn't know Baron at all, so it was great to see Baron Bruno and hear what he had to say about everything. So I did. That was a busy night for us. But the big thing coming up for the chamber, I mean, we have lots of stuff coming up, Women's Mastermind and all of these things that are just going to be exciting. But the big thing is next week is our Heroes of Manhattan Beach. And you know, this is the first time we've done anything like this. It's, you know, everybody says, well, what about, don't they do a Medal of Valor thing in Torrance for all the South Bay? And I said, yeah, but I want to do something for us, just our people, you know, just to say thanks, have locals in there. You know, all of city council will be there, city management, we'll have residents. I've got some seniors who are buying a table. You know, we've got the Downtown Business Association buying a table. And, you know, lots of other people filling in. We've got fire department there and police department, of course, because they're being honored. And the lifeguards, county lifeguards. People forget, even though they're county, I look at the guys who stand next to their lifeguard stations as a part of our city, too. Because if you grew up in the South Bay, one of your babysitters was whatever lifeguard tower you went to as a kid.
Yeah.
And sometimes the moms even had phone numbers right to that lifeguard tower of that lifeguard, you know, and that literally was, you know, he or she, you know, the kids were told stay around James there, the lifeguard or Sally or whoever it was. And, within sight of that and don't go, you know, and then they'd run back up. You know, they're as much a part of our community as our local police and fire, too. So, because the beach is a huge asset to our town. And so I'm giving an award out to Mario Rodriguez, who performed just one heroic event after another, saving lives on July 4th, apparently around the Manhattan Beach Pier. And they had three or four other lifeguards that had to actually go in. They had to pull in from other towers, but he was the lead lifeguard. And he has the tower just south of the pier. And there was all of a sudden this really monstrous evil riptide that was just really ferocious. And it was dragging everybody out or under or, you know. And most of your visitors don't know how to handle riptides. And so what it was doing, too, near the pier, it was slamming people into driving them into the pilings along the pier. And people were just screaming for help and in the water. Mario just raced out there and literally dragged people safely through the pier area and then went out again, got more, and then all the lifeguards came in from other towers. I mean, it was just a crazy, wild couple of hours there, I think, with that riptide, or maybe it was longer, I'm not sure. But so, and we're honoring Charlotte Lesser, who I don't know if you know, her husband is Russ Lesser. And she's the one who created Neighborhood Watch here, brought Neighborhood Watch here. She and her husband, I mean, if you go by 26th Street Beach, you see that workout area. They donated that. They've done so much for this city. You know, she's been on countless boards and the MB Hometown Fair 10K. And so we're giving her a Community Champion Award. We're giving Derek Abel, Chief Abel, a Community Leadership Award because – ever since Bob Espinosa left, this guy, who's our chief of police, has also been running the fire department.
Yes.
And you know, and I don't know if that's going to be a new trend out there, that one guy runs both. Because when you think about it is a small town. So.
Yeah. No, that's
true. I know it probably isn't practical because I think he's actually given the firefighters guns. And that probably isn't good. Just kidding. I'm just kidding, you guys. So there's rifles now and all the hard drugs. But I think we all know why he's overseeing the fire department. So, but we're giving him a leadership award because that's really a tough day of work. I mean, that's a long day.
That's double duty.
Yeah. So Charlotte, right. Chief Abel, and Mario will be getting actual individual awards. And then, of course, we'll recognize the police department and the fire department as a whole, as a unit. And Amy Holworth is going to be our MC. Kelly McDade, Mary Beth mm-hmm. McDade is going to be there as well as Ned Colletti, Joe, who was former general manager of the Dodgers. And I'm going to have the three of them
right.
doing the auctioning off the live auction items, so which are really
beautiful.
Fun, like dinner for eight.
Okay, tell us what day and how much for tickets.
Oh, sorry.
And where?
$50 for tickets. It is Wednesday, October 17th. It is a plated lunch music by Jeremy Buck and Mo Z. And it is Wednesday, October 17th. 11 to 2 at Veranda's Beach House over on Rosecrans.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
From here till Thursday, try the roast beef.
So we're going to have a very exciting time today because we're going to be featuring, as we do, we're going to be featuring the MiraCosta Drama Department. And this is something very special. This is something quite special. We're going to talk to the director and several of the cast members. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Okay, we have a room full of guests this morning, as you mentioned, from MiraCosta High School to tell us about the upcoming production of The Laramie Project. Now, The Laramie Project is an emotionally riveting drama which centers on the death of gay college student Matthew Shepard and how his murder affected his community and sent ripple effects across the nation. The Laramie Project is playing November 2nd through November 10th in MiraCosta's Small Theater, which is located at 1401 Artesia Boulevard in Manhattan Beach. And you can purchase tickets at www.miracostadramaboosters.org. Our guests this morning are director and drama teacher Jonathan Westberg and students Bryson Earhart, Bella McDaniel, Kira Randolph, Travers Tobis, Megan Yeh, and Sophia Fontaine. Welcome back to the program, everybody. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining us. This is a very dramatic and emotionally powerful play. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about the process that went into selecting this play, and how long ago was it selected for production this year?
Before we get into that, can I read Jonathan's bio real quick so that everybody
sure.
knows who we're talking about? Okay. So Jonathan Westerberg is the director. He teaches drama at MiraCosta High School and is the director of extracurricular activities for the drama and tech department. Now, for Costa, Mr. Westerberg has directed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Laramie Project, Chicago, Twelfth Night, The Flu Season, and a student-written radio play titled I Have a Friend Who. Jonathan's directing credits for Los Angeles-based Circle X Theater Company include original works by nationally recognized playwrights such as Paul Mullen, Will Eno, and Carlos Murillo, among others. Jonathan has produced, directed, composed for, and designed dozens of other Circle X productions, and he formerly served as the company's co-producing artistic director. Okay, Joe.
Well, what is the selection process for plays, and how long ago was this play selected for production this year?
We selected The Laramie Project. It was around spring of this past year. Mm-hmm. So the process for selecting shows is basically a conversation amongst, the people who are most involved in mounting the productions. This is mm-hmm. my first year as advisor for the drama program. It's my first year as the drama teacher here at Costa. I, about 10, 12 years ago, had been teaching some drama classes. The program was under the guidance of another Costa teacher at that point. and had been directing shows while I was also directing for Circle X Theater Company. And so coming into the program a little bit more in advisory duties for the extracurricular, all of the extracurricular activities that the department does, as well as teaching the drama classes. A couple of things were important to me. It was important to me that we find a show that is ensemble-based, which in this context means, you know, a cast that shares equally in the storytelling. The Laramie Project is one of those. You know, there are over 50 characters that appear in the play. As originally written, I think the original Broadway production had 8 actors who take on all of those 50 roles. Our production, we have cast 20 actors, and it's a great opportunity for students to share in the storytelling process, but also really sort of stretch their craft and take on, you know, multiple different personas on stage. So I really wanted to bring something to the first show that I did here as a drama advisor and as drama teacher that brought us together in sort of this shared storytelling spirit. And then the other consideration was, this is a big year. This is it's a big year in terms of the anniversary of Matthew Shepard's death, and that's actually 20 years ago today was the day that he finally passed away in the hospital, and it was 6 days ago. So I think that was Saturday. The 6th that he was tied up against the fence post and left to die. He was discovered the next morning, so that would have been Sunday, and then the rest of this week would have been the process of them trying to rehabilitate him in the hospital. And so I think that, you know, the conversations around sexual identity have become, you know, profoundly complex, and in the best of ways. We're listening more. I think we're understanding more. I think that we're all accepting more. But at the same time, there is sort of there's a lot of hatred that is being unearthed, in my opinion, in sort of the national political sphere. And that's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable reality that we're having to deal with, to see some of these things come out of the shadows and be emboldened. Our feeling that this is a good time to revisit the story, to see how things have changed, to see how things have not changed, and to have that conversation. You know, I'm a fan of theater. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jonathan. I just have to say, I cannot believe it's been 20 years. I swear this feels like it happened just yesterday. I cannot believe it's 20 years.
It's interesting what happens in looking at this story again. I've received phone calls, I've had emails when I'm, you know, out on the weekends amongst people that I know and meeting their friends and spending time with people, and they ask me what I'm doing and I bring up this play. It's interesting, the stories and the conversations that start. I last weekend met a man from Cody, Wyoming, which is near Laramie, and one of the towns that one of the characters from the play is from. And he was a friend of a friend at a birthday party. I'd never met him before. And we probably spent about an hour talking about Wyoming and about Matthew Shepard. I also received an email from a woman who staged the high school premiere. It might have been the California premiere at a high school level of the Laramie Project about a year before I did it last here at MiraCosta. She did it in San Francisco. And she had members of the Westboro Baptist Church show up and protest their actual performance. Moises Kaufman, who organized, the theater company to go out and do the interviews in Laramie, and who really authored the play, went to that production as well. So I think many people share that sentiment that this, you know, Matthew Shepard would have been 41 years old. I'm 43. And it sort of it makes a huge impression on me. And listening to people talk about homosexuality in the play, those people who, you know, strange phrases like, I don't agree with that lifestyle, as if it is something that one chooses to agree or disagree with. The language is very interesting, and at times feels incredibly fresh, and at other times feels almost dated or passé. But I think it's a good opportunity for us to explore these things again.
Okay. Wow. What a powerful emotional experience for people to go through the play. Give us a sense of the arc of the story. We know the reality of Matthew's experience, but give us the arc of the play. What is the arc of the play in dramatic sense? What is the play communicating?
So the play chronicles the town's reaction, really, to the death of Matthew Shepard. So in many ways, this is more of a play about Laramie. Laramie is a small town in the United States. It's more of a play about our nation and our reaction to the event. So never does Matthew Shepard actually appear in the play. And the whole thing is written as almost a piece of theatrical nonfiction, in that at that time, there was a theater company in New York City called the Tectonic Theater Company. Their artistic director was Moises Kaufman. And when Matthew Shepard was killed and it hit national news, he rallied about 10 of his theater company members to travel out to Laramie, Wyoming. Over the course of a couple of years, they collected over 200 interviews. And then they put those along with news, radio broadcast transcripts, court transcripts. They put all of those together to make the play that we're seeing. So what we're seeing is the actual words of actual people that were actually spoken surrounding this event. And so the arc of the play, we begin, it's one part story of the Tectonic Theater Company going to Laramie to try to put story together. So it's sort of a piece of meta theater in that sense. And it's one part the story of all of the residents of Laramie processing the events that happened. So we get this overview of everything, and then we're launched eventually into the stories of who Matthew was, those people that knew him, their impression of him, the evening when he was really abducted and then killed becomes the central centerpiece of the first act of the play. And then the rest of the play deals with Laramie's reaction to the death, the national media descending upon Laramie and how that impacted the town and their own identity and their struggles in continuing to deal with the death and have conversations with the death. And then it ends when the Tectonic Theater Company finally leaves on their final visit after the funeral, after the arraignment and after the trial of both of the perpetrators, Russell Henderson and Aaron McKinney. And then the theater company leaves and they go home and then ostensibly construct the play that we had just seen. So we chronologically follow the events, but all of the conversation about the events that become the language of the play are all reflective in that few things are happening in the moment. And it's almost Brechtian in style in that it's mostly commentary on an event that happens off stage as opposed to us witnessing an event happening on stage.
Okay, excellent. Now tell me, Jonathan, who we're going to meet first of the cast members.
Well, to me, I'm just going to go from left to right here. I'll introduce you Bella McDaniel. She's taking on a variety of roles in the play, and I'd love to hear what you have to ask her and what she has to offer.
All right. Jackie, give us a bio.
Okay, Bella McDaniel is a junior and is very excited and grateful to be part of this extremely talented cast. This is her first production at MiraCosta, and she wants to thank Mr. Westerberg and Miss H for all their guidance during the development of this show. She also wants to thank all of the production team and her friends and family who have supported her throughout the process.
Enjoy the show. Bella, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Now, Bella, there may have to be a physical rearrangement of a minor kind as you move closer to the microphone, but tell us, as your first production, have you been in drama productions previously in middle school or in other places?
Yes, I've been in productions in other places, just this is my first one here at MiraCosta.
Okay. What impact does just the process of being in drama and in a play of any kind, how does that impact your high school experience?
I think it's quite interesting because, you know, every day you're going to different classes that you may not be so interested in, and you definitely have something to look forward to. But it's also fun because, you know, during the rehearsal process, you get to go into this different world and you get to live through these characters and really experience what they experienced. And it's just really interesting to get insight onto something that, you know, I wasn't alive to live through.
How many characters do you play?
I play three.
And give me a quick couple of lines or sentences about each of them.
Well, the first character that I play that appears in the show is Rebecca Hilliker, and she is the head of the drama department at the university. And then I play a character that's called Anonymous. They didn't want their name mentioned in the play, and they're just someone who knew Aaron McKinney. So they talk a little bit about him, and then I play the judge who, you know, is there for the trial and the arraignment of the perpetrators.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That's, we're looking forward to seeing it. And, is there anything else you'd like to add as a statement of, this is my experience of this play?
Yeah, my experience is, I don't know, it's a great play, and it definitely, it takes on an emotional toll because you really have to, you know, go through the mindsets of each of these characters. And, you know, even if you're accepting of certain things that they aren't accepting of, it's just interesting to get the different stances of everyone. And yeah, it's just a great show.
You know, Joe, it's interesting, Bella, that you mentioned that you weren't alive for this event. You know, we were all there. We lived it. We remember it. How do you compare that to other big national events that you have been alive for?
Well, you know,
this is history for you. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've been alive through a lot of things. You know, there's been school shootings and such. So I guess it's just relating it to things that I know that have been brought to the media and things that have been exploited, and just trying to connect what I know with what I wasn't alive to experience.
Right. And now, Jonathan, thank you, Bella. And now, Jonathan, who's next?
Let me introduce you to Sophia Fontaine.
Okay. Jackie?
Okay, hang on. I got a whole bunch of papers here. Sophia Fontaine. Sophia's extremely proud to be a part of the Laramie project. She's a junior at MiraCosta, and Laramie is also her first production with the Drama and Tech Department. She is profoundly grateful for Mr. Westerberg, Ms. Hutchinson, the production team, and their faith in the cast. Sophia would like to thank her parents, brother, and grandmother for supporting her throughout the rehearsal process, and fellow castmate Ansley Rowell for documenting the experience, and she wants us all to enjoy the show. Hi, Sophia.
Hi.
Hi. So, similarly, Sophia, just the way that I see this is that we want to know, first of all, how many characters you play.
I play two characters. I play Andy Paris and Zubaydah Ula.
What do you think of your characters? How have they affected you?
I really love my characters. Andy Paris is a member of the Tectonic Theater Company. And, you know, I get to interview a lot of the other a lot of the other characters and get a little bit of a deeper insight into the town and into what the theater company and the other people in the town really went through with this event. And my other character that I play, Zubaydah Ula, is one of the really interesting and I think more complicated characters that I've seen or played before. She is a member of the university, and she's a feminist, and she's also Islamic. So she has her own view of the town and of her life and of the events that happened, because she has faced her own form of prejudice in the town, and she has her own ideas that not everyone in the town agrees with. And yeah, I've really connected with both of them. Zubaida really has a history that I know and can relate to, and she has views and opinions that I really understand and really connect with me. And Andy, she just has this demeanor that is really sweet and kind, and yeah, it's really fun to play both of them.
You know, I'm curious, and maybe this is for the whole cast and the director, but did you guys make any changes and take any creative license in terms of playing the characters, you know, male, female, anything along those lines, or is it pretty straightforward to what you have in front of you?
This is Jonathan. We did take some creative licenses. We have 12 girls and 8 boys in the cast for this production. And typically this show has a little bit more of an even gender split. So we have some cross-gender casting. I don't think we do it in any way that interferes with, with one of, I think, the essential elements of the story, which is Matthew Shepard's homosexuality and community members' reaction to that. But the nature of the show is that I think the audience is supposed to feel like they're watching a play, and that the play is very much a conspicuous part of the story and the design of it, in that it's mentioned several times that the Tectonic Theater Company is taking these interviews and turning them into a script. And that dialogue is actually part of the dialogue of the play. So it has, again, it has that meta theater quality.
Go ahead.
So we have people who are transforming right before the audience's eyes into different characters. And because of that, I think that it's very easy for us to take certain liberties with characters and so forth. The only change that we made is that we have edited the material down a little bit. I think the running time is typically about 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow.
We probably edited it down by about 15 or 20 minutes. And
yeah, that's a long play.
Yeah. It's tough, and we don't have a 3-act version. We have a 2-act version, so we changed. We put in one intermission at a different place than it was originally written, but the storyline is perfectly intact.
Have you guys been able to get a copy or see the movie at all?
I have seen the movie. I have not assigned any outside viewing research for my students. I wanted them to come to the material fresh without.
Sure.
Any biases of performances that they saw or commentary for other characters. But they, of course, are willing to watch whatever they want to watch. So I can let them speak to that themselves.
I was just curious if that had any impact on their characters, if they, looked at that and said, I think I got it right, or we're on the same wavelength, or anything that you took from that movie. What I want to know is, I want to know a lot of things, but when you look at young adults, obviously I think we all assume, unless there's a parent out there that really is somehow making that adult think in certain ways, but you think they're pretty open and all that. I'd be curious if your cast has had any kind of cathartic change or any kind of change in their current thinking, or they learned anything from this in terms of different from what they were when they started. We assume that they approach homosexuality, they have friends who are gay, and that they approach it with an open mind, but maybe there was something that even more came out of this than what they had going in.
Yeah, do you want to ask any of the cast members that?
Absolutely.
Anyone who wants to speak about that, just raise their hand and we'll switch to them.
And
thank you. Thank
one of the
you
reasons
so
I say
much.
That is that
Sophia.
P-Flag. P-Flag has, P-Flag is coming to the South Bay and it's starting a chapter here. And I don't know if that's parents for gay parents or for gay kids and all of that, and then so I think we're starting to see a little more of where organized effort in the South Bay than what's been there before. We've also had our issues in the South Bay, with some things that have happened. But I've opened up my conference room for a couple of therapists who regularly meet with kids who have come out, and just for them to have a safe space to go and just open up and talk about this. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious if your young cast has had any kind of cathartic change since taking on this role.
Sure. I'll let Sophia Fontaine continue. She can talk about that before you meet some of the cast members.
Okay. All right. Sophia?
I think that because a lot of the people in Laramie weren't necessarily in support of Matthew's lifestyle, as they call it a lot in the play, it's very interesting for a lot of the cast members to play people who don't support Matthew and aren't for that, you know, people who are LGBTQ+, and they didn't go to the vigil, and they didn't support a lot of the action that happened after his death and the arraignment, and wanted, you know, the two perpetrators not to be sentenced to death and to be sentenced to death. And so I think we have a lot of different opinions in the cast and in the characters that we play, and it's brought out a lot of different opinions and different views of different opinions with the cast members.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm. Now, thank you very much, Sophia. Mr. Westerberg, who's next?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
Who's next? Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, who's next? I didn't hear you.
Can we meet another cast?
Okay, I'll introduce you to Kira Randolph.
Kira Randolph. Jackie? Oh, hold on, Kira. Jackie? Is Jackie with us?
I am so sorry. I'm sitting here reading, and I was on mute. Sorry about that. Kira Randolph is in the ninth grade, and she's very happy to be a part of the Laramie Project. This is her first MiraCosta show, and she's excited for all of you to see it. Now, Kira would like to thank the production team, her family, and the cast of Laramie, who were so supportive and loving towards each other. She hopes you enjoy watching the show just as much as she did being in it. Hi, Kira.
Hi.
Hi. So we'll start with the last question for you, Kira. I mean, can you say that the characters have surprised you or caused you to think about things differently?
I think that some of the characters in the show, it's kind of like, it's amazed me a little bit on how much hate that they can have for someone who just likes the same gender that they are. But I think that it did open up my eyes and maybe some other people of the cast that we do live in a world where not everyone has, like, the same views and not everyone accepts everyone else, and that we just, like, when we are with each other, that we should be loving and that we should spread love and not hate. And
How many characters do you play?
I play three.
Did you find a commonality between the three characters, even if they have wildly differing opinions about what happened to Matthew? Have you found any commonalities between them that surprised you?
I think that they all are on the side of, like, if you are homosexual, that it's okay. I think that that they all are accepting towards people and who they want to be, because one of my characters is actually homosexual. She's Lee Fondakowski. She's part of the Tectonic Theater Company. And I think that all three of them just are accepting towards Matthew Shepard and think that what happened was wrong and that he didn't deserve what happened to him.
Have you been in previous drama productions?
Yes, I was in a couple at in middle school, but not here at Costa.
Okay. Well, I would suppose that this one has been a little bit more emotional or adult than anything you've been in before.
Yeah, definitely. It's been very emotional, but with the cast and everyone, they're all very supportive, and it's it's just good to have all of them while working through all of this.
One of the questions I love asking all the students is, Kira, what impact does being in drama have on your experience of just being in high school, do you think?
Well, for me, drama really helped me find who I was, because I was in middle school, I was a little lost on who I wanted to be, or things like kind of like about my race, because I am African-American. So it was like I didn't know if I necessarily fit in with certain people. But joining drama really did help me find who my friends are. And I've made some really good ones. And it also gave me something to have a passion for and to keep trying to work towards.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Wonderful. Now, Mr. Westerberg, thank you, Kira. Now, Mr. Westerberg, who's next?
Next, we have Megan Yeh.
Megan Yeh.
All right.
Okay.
Megan yeah. is a yeah. junior and is ecstatic to be in the Laramie Project. This is her first time in the cast of AmeriCosta show, and she's loved the experience. She can't wait to see what the future holds and will never forget the experience of working on this production. Megan would like to thank her fellow cast members, the crew, her family, and the production team. She hopes you enjoy the show and appreciate the message it brings. Hi, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good.
So, of course, the questions are very similar, but obviously the experiences are quite different. When you think about the message of the show, what would you say that is in your eyes?
Well, when I was reading the play before auditions happened, I really kind of wanted to analyze the different topics and themes that are explored, because I realized over time that it's not just homosexuality that this town had to deal with. It's also the conflict within them of how there's a lot of traditional and then there's also modern views that are conflicting within their town with the university as well as the more religious population. So that kind of really stood out to me, how these people are in conflict not only about homosexuality but also about their own views that they've believed. And it's like a state of confusion that they haven't been able had to face before.
Right, right. How many characters do you
that's
play?
That's deep. That's deep.
Yeah.
that's very deep.
How many characters do you play?
I play six characters.
Whoa.
Wow.
Now, that experience alone as an actor and playing six characters, men and women?
Yes.
Or you've transitioned the genders of some characters. They're all Megan now. How has that experience been?
It's been like really moving, because two of my characters are reporters that don't necessarily have names. They're just reporters in general, and they represent the media and how part of the media didn't really take into consideration what was actually happening and that this was affecting a real person's life. But then another reporter that I play, who's Carrie Drake, who actually has a name and has a presence, he really actually has compassion for what's happening. And then also I play Stephen Mead Johnson, who is a Unitarian minister. And what I see him as is he's kind of a mediator, since there's so much religious conflict as well as just conflict of views of homosexuality. And he's opening to everyone. He's very observant of the different feelings that everyone feels. And then a character that was kind of a challenge for me and that was very different was Jen, who was a friend of Aaron McKinney, who was the killer of Matthew. And that was very different because she doesn't necessarily hate homosexuals, but she doesn't understand it. And it was very different for me because that's something I hadn't experienced before, specifically living in the South Bay. That's not something you see around a lot because people are usually more open in this area.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Is there anything that, well, Megan, I'm gonna end there with you, because what I'm going to do is just try to get to everyone individually, and then we're going to have a few minutes to talk at the end of the show, I hope. Mr. Westerberg, who's next?
Okay, next we have Bryson Earhart.
Okay,
all right, Bryson is excited about his first performance with AmeriCosta, and he's thankful for the opportunity to be a part of this cast. He's in 10th grade and was able to do senior scenes last year. He had a lot of fun working with everyone from the drama department and is excited to work with them again. He wants to thank the entire cast and crew and hopes we all enjoy the show. Hiya, Bryson.
Hi.
Hey. So you've heard the questions that I've asked the other cast members. What's your first reaction at this point about the play's impact on you?
Well, the play has really impacted me because I play two very different characters. I play a character, John Peacock, which was one of Matthew's academic advisors at the university. But then I also play one of the perpetrators, Russell Henderson. So it's like a big switch in between the two characters. So I think it's really impacting me to, like, you know, go see both sides of the story. Because, like, John was really, you know, close to Matthew and he talked to him a lot. And, you know, but then Russell was the guy who tied him up on the fence. And I think it was just, it really, you know, impacting me to see both sides of the story and, like, you know, those are two, like, very different people, and they have very different ideas about what's happening.
Joe, can I ask Bryson something real quick? Bryson, during the show, are you going back and forth with your characters, or do you play one for a certain amount of time, and then later on you play another one, or are you going back and forth throughout the course of the play with your characters?
I'm going back and forth a lot between, because the first scene I'm in, I'm John Peacock, but then during the second one, I'm Russell Henderson, so I bounce back and forth a lot.
Wow, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to, like, get into the mindset of two, you know, people, like, one stone-faced and, you know, not really caring and a lot, and then, like, this person who was really affected by Matthew's death.
Right.
Wow.
Right. As a sophomore, when you think of drama as a sort of an aid to your experience in high school, what you thought it would be last year if you were in drama last year, or how has it affected your high school experience?
Honestly, it's just been a lot of fun. I've, like, you know, my last two periods, I'm always, like, you know, getting tired and, you know, dozing off and everything. But then I come here and it's, like, immediately back, and I'm, like, you know, happy and, like, I'm excited to see everybody. And, you know, there's just a really strong energy here, and it's, like everybody in the cast is super supportive and, you know, super friendly and everything. And it's just, like, makes me, like, you know, really excited about the end of the day and everything.
Right. There is an energy, obviously, to, you know, not just this particular play, but drama in general, the business of being in theater is very energizing. What would you say to other people that have thought about it, that might hear this show, performance, think about joining drama? What would you say to people about joining drama and to encourage them?
I'd say to the people who are on the edge about joining or not, I'd say, like, you know, just go for it. Just, like, join. And even if it's not, like, the thing you don't, even if it's not, like, what you want to do when you, like, get old and what you want to, like, do with your life and everything, even if you, like, don't want to become an actor, I think you should still do it because, like, it, like, doesn't just help you with acting and everything. It, like, you know, you build friendships here and, you know, public speaking and everything, and it really helps you out with, like, a lot in, you know, life, and not just, like, if you want to become an actor or something, you can, like, you still join it, and it's, like, a lot of fun. And I think people who don't necessarily love to act will still have a good time because, you know, there is a strong energy here, and, you know, it's always a lot of fun.
Okay, excellent. And now, one more person, Mr. Westerberg, yes?
Yes, our final cast member with us today is Travers Tobis.
Okay, Travers is very happy to be in the Laramie Project. This is his first Costa show he's been in, along with Senior Scenes last year. Somebody's going to have to explain to us what Senior Scenes is, Joe. He's excited that he gets to be in a show that is about a real experience and a real story. He wants to thank his family and friends for supporting him and helping improve his acting ability. He would also like to thank the cast, the crew, and directors of the show. Hi, Travers.
Just a quick thing. Senior Scenes are like a show of the seniors' talents in directing kids who are underclassmen, so normally sophomores or freshmen, and they just have a 10-minute scene that they can direct and do whatever they want with, and they show around the end of May.
Oh, so is that so it's a mentor kind of program. I noticed that most we've had your drama department on, oh gosh, 3 or 4 times now. And I noticed that they're always upperclassmen. Are freshmen not allowed or encouraged to go into drama, or is their class load so much in their first year that it's not open to them? Mr. Westerberg?
No, we very much encourage freshmen to be involved. So there are three courses: drama 1, which is beginning drama, drama 2, and drama 3. And so all students, CSU and UC requirements have all students need to take 1 year of art elective. So drama 1 is 1 year of art elective. So some students are taking it for elective purposes. Other students are taking it because they're interested in drama. And then after you complete drama 1, which is mostly freshmen, but a lot of we'll oftentimes have sophomores and juniors and seniors as well who are fulfilling their arts requirement a little bit later on. Once you finish drama 1, then you can go into drama 2 and then eventually drama 3. So the drama 2, I'm going to let that bell finish.
Mm-hmm.
Time to go to class.
The drama 2 and the drama 3 students are students who have really committed to the program beyond that 1 year of arts requirement. And we do have 3 freshmen in our cast as well, including Kira Randolph, who you just heard from.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Back to Travers.
Back to Travers. And Travers, continue with the theme of the other questions that I've asked cast members. How many different characters are you playing?
I play 4 characters.
Tell us about that.
Well, one of my characters is Gil Eingen. He's just a rancher type who lives in Wyoming. He only has 1 line in the play, but I've always had a feeling with him that he kind of just wants to have a reaction to it, but doesn't have as much reaction as he feels he should, and he doesn't express that very well. And then I play Steven Belber, who is a member of the Tectonic Theater group, and he's an interesting character because there's a lot of moments where he doesn't really agree with what a lot of the other Tectonic cast is doing, and he feels like it's almost inappropriate to get inside the mindset and break up the town of Wyoming and turn it into a play instead of just keeping it as a regular town. And then my main role is Rulon Stacy. He's the CEO of Poudre Valley Hospital, the hospital that Matthew went to after he got beaten. And that's definitely a really emotional character because it's always been easy for me to see that if you're accepting a homosexuality, that not you're a good guy, but it can make you a better person. But if you're against it, it can make you a worse person, and it's always easy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm just gonna let that go.
Yes.
they're doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, are they? So it's gonna go through the whole pledge.
Oh, let's all do the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah.
With liberty and justice for all. Okay.
We haven't been in school in a while.
Okay. So.
One last thing, Travers, before we break for a larger discussion. Your instructor, Mr. Westerberg, mentioned Bertolt Brecht. Do you have any Bertolt Brecht play in mind that you've ever read or seen or that's been made into a movie that you're aware of?
Is this for Travers or is this for
well,
Jonathan?
Well, first for Travers.
Oh, what was the question? Do you know Bertolt Brecht or do you have any?
No. No, I'm not sure who that is.
Okay.
Good
so,
for you, Travers.
This would be then for any of the cast members just to shout out a a Bertolt Brecht piece that they've heard of, a movie that's been made into a movie that they've seen, because this play, Mr. Westberg, if you could explain how this play, as you had said at the top of the show, talks about an event that doesn't happen in the play.
Yeah, so I bring in Brecht because Brecht as a director was very interested in making the artifice of theater visible to the audience. So there's no pretending that this is reality. It's an acknowledgement that it's a play. And I guess that the Laramie Project is even more Greek theater-like in the fact that there's more commentary about events than there are actual events happening on stage. But one thing that we're aiming to do with this play is to make it as entertaining and visually appealing in its storytelling to an audience. So we do stage events while they're being spoken about in a very theatrical, stylized way.
Oh, I see. Well, this is an amazing play and an amazing, production, because it's a high school production, and the power of high school productions to shape young lives is certainly very evident. In my own life, I was a thespian and I was in plays. No play that I was ever in this impactful, potentially on the larger community. Mark talked about more support for gay students in schools, support from their parents, and organizing support for them. This is a big deal, and hats off to you, Mr. Westerberg, for shepherding these students through this process. They will never forget it. There's no question about that. So tell us, Mr. Westerberg, when you think of this and these students, we know that it impacts them in so many positive ways. Tell us a little bit about what you think this play has given these students.
Well, as a person who obviously loves theater and works in theater quite often, I'm of two minds. I think that theater should entertain, and I think it can be. There's the bell again. I think that theater should entertain, and I am all for light entertainment. And I think there are opportunities where theater should challenge and force us to introspect. And this is one of those choices with this particular play. So what's always remarkable for me is that, we have a group of very open-minded students in the program. I think that open-minded students are attracted to this type of program. Yet the amount of emotional impact that this story has had on them, we can see how all of those things that happened 20 years ago in Laramie, Wyoming, surrounding the death of Matthew Shepard, still resonate and reverberate pretty intensely amongst people.
Well, that's what's interesting, because I'm curious, and this is what I've been trying to – I'm curious the conversations that the cast is having among themselves, because I can bet you this is an internet generation, that they've gone on the internet and they've researched this. And, there's a lot of there's a book out, the Book of Matt. There's a lot of other scenarios regarding this whole incident on why it really happened and things like that. I'm curious if there have been some great discussions between the cast members.
Let Travers speak on that.
Yeah.
Personally, I know I've went online to look at some of the characters, especially in the documentary Matthew Shepard is My Friend. And I use that to look at Rulon Stacy and Fred Phelps, who's the member of the Westboro Church. And it really helped, because you can see what who the character is and how he holds himself. And there are certain times where, speaking of discussions, you'll just gotten out of your character, and it can be a very serious scene, and it's almost difficult to talk to people as if you're back in your real person. And so there are discussions that sometimes happen where you almost feel like you're still the character that you were, and it's an odd experience having that whole talk with people, that it just doesn't feel like you're really in the moment as much as you normally are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a question for you, Mr. Westerberg, and then we're going to have to wrap this up, Joe. The hour just flew. You mentioned earlier about the first high school production or California high school production of the Laramie Project and how they had protesters show up. Have you or the school or the students, have you received any backlash about picking a play with this topic?
No. That doesn't mean that there might not be some dissent out there. When I did this here, I think it was 14 years ago in 2004, I did receive some heated emails about trying to perpetuate the gay agenda. And that's a phrase that we used to hear quite frequently a decade ago. We don't really hear that as much, especially around here. So if there is any discomfort, if there is any dissent about doing this, I haven't heard about it. I remember, again, back in 2004, I wrote a letter to the board in order to get their consent to do this play. We haven't felt any need to do that, or there hasn't been any request to do that. So I think that we're approaching a more open-minded community. But again, there are so many different instances of bigotry that are happening right now that I'm hoping that this expands the conversation beyond homosexuality.
Well, I think
we're gonna leave it on a high note. I like
that.
Yeah,
it is a play about hope. It is an entertaining play at the end of the day, and it's a play about hope. So I would hate to leave anybody with the message that this is a dark, depressing work. I think it's actually quite uplifting.
And I think what's happened to Laramie, I mean, they've recognized it. They've actually taken a lot of strides to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. They've actually, they're kind of a role model for small towns on ordinances to pass and things like that regarding equality.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Right. Ladies and gentlemen of the cast, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And
thank
take
you.
The rest of the day off.
Okay. Yeah.
Stay in school,
check
kids.
Yeah, really. Stay at school. Check with your teachers. And Mr. Westerberg, we applaud and thank you for this hour and for these students. We're sure to see them again in many different contexts, I'm sure, in their lives. But this one is special. We look forward to this. November 2nd through the 10th. In MiraCosta's small theater, you can get tickets at MiraCostaDramaBoosters.org. MiraCostaDramaBoosters.org. Thank you very much, Mark Lips and Jackie Balestra. Thank you for joining us. And that's
always
our show.
Always a pleasure.
Have a great weekend, Joe and everyone.
All
Thank
right.
You, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.